The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and talking about some of that stuff, I've talked to several people I know and all that. There's also been some reports and of several pompano coming off the Nassau Sound Bridge now. So they should be on the beach. I haven't heard of anything on the beach yet. I should have talked to Noel the other night. You know, he surf fishes all the time. I should have asked him about that, but I wasn't thinking about that at the seminar the other night. But anyway, from what I understand, they're catching a few black drum, but some pompano off the Nassau Sound Bridge. The whiting they're catching are still kind of small, and the croakers are catching are small. But they said there's, you know, a keeper croaker here and there, and a keeper whiting here and there, but most of the whiting are really small. And, it just seems,
it's weird,
like,
man.
Back in the day, you know, you could catch, you know, there's big whiting, you know.
Yeah.
They always call them bull whitings, you know, the darker ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big silvers.
The darker
ones up in the river.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the last big whiting that we caught, I think this was last year, we had a piece of cut ladyfish out, bull redfish fishing, and something kept nibbling on it. It finally kind of bent the rod down. And that's one good thing about those kale hooks, you know, because it's got that big bend and a little bend, so it acts like a big hook and a little hook. And we caught that whiting, and they were reeling it up. I thought it might have been a yellowmouth trout, but we've caught some pretty good sized yellowmouth trout on that cut ladyfish. And so anyway, reel him up, and it's a 21-inch whiting. Man, he was huge.
That's rare. I don't see those net anymore.
Man, I know, he was huge. You know? And so anyway, those people weren't keeping fish that day, so we didn't keep him, but anyway, it's, I'd like to run across him sometime on my dinner plate. I do like whiting. They're not a big fish, but I do like them.
I just don't get some of the species that have a preferred, formerly, they had a preferred cooler water temperature, and they've been showing up in the summertime. Pomps, mm-hmm. sheep's head did mm-hmm. that, you know, I mean,
and yeah.
drum, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I always looked forward to them in the fall, the winter, mm-hmm. and the spring, you know. And
yeah, when it gets really hot in the summertime, like, you know, it's been this year, that's when I look so forward to the sheep's head bite, you know. I just can't wait till the sheep head, you know, fire up, start biting good, you know.
Yeah.
And I heard there's a few biting now again, but just not a lot, you know. But, you know, there's a few here and there, but I'd rather, you know, go out there when the bite picks up a little bit more, you know. And I say go out there, and I don't mean, you know, to have to go all the way to the jetties. I mean, you can catch them, you know, you can catch them at, you know, white shell rocks or just about any rock bank or dock piling, you know, stuff like that, when they do start biting, you know. But I understand there's several of them downtown around those commercial docks during the summertime, you know, so I just haven't gone that far to try to target them down there.
Well, that day we went out there, we should have caught something.
To the jetties?
No, the commercial docks you're talking about downtown. Oh. We pulled up there to that one, or that boat was just lit up, and it was lighting up the water.
Yeah, lights on the dock, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And, I mean, we threw top water, and I got one bite there, and that was it.
Yeah, we did top water, and we covered the water column pretty well.
But y'all didn't sheephead fish?
No. We should have been catching some trout there.
Yeah, you would think, you know, with
under those lights.
Yeah, with those lights down there, you would think that they would. But
yeah, we started before sun up, and we should have got hammered by some trout back in the day. That would have been, you know, what you know, almost guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Showing up down there, right place, right tide.
Yeah.
You know, just before sun up, you know.
Well, you know, we this summer, it just came out of the gate hot.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't gradually getting hot.
Right.
You know, it was just boom. It was 3 weeks of the upper 90s.
Yeah. If I remember
it
right,
it killed everything.
Yeah.
Started in May.
That's what I was wondering. If I remember right, in May, we talked about the water temperatures about the same as it was in, is it supposed to be in like July or something, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it got that hot that quick, you know.
I think that's why we didn't do so well that when we should have.
Yeah.
Because it just was just too hot. Even the water temperature was way off.
Yeah. I'd like to see the video on that that they were just showing.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And, so, but, yeah, when it got that hot that quick, I mean, it really did, I would say shut down a lot of the fish. I mean, there's people still, you know, catch some nice trout here and there and stuff, but, you know, we should have been catching speckled trout, you know, all summer. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it got to the point where you couldn't hardly find them, you know, and I talked to a bunch of people, and I know I've seen several photos of people that's, you know, on Facebook that has caught nice trout, you know. I know Eddie Cavler can catch him anywhere. He can catch him in his bathtub, you know. But,
yeah.
But, I mean, you know.
Apparently flounder, too.
Yeah. You know, when, you know, I feel so, you know, I would love to be able just to go out, you know, and go all day and, like, target one species, you know. But, you know, if you take clients out there, you don't, you know, you really, you know, you have to do various things. You know, you got to get a bite going, of course. So
yeah, you have to go on a lot of search and destroy missions to try to find those that.
And I used to, you know, years ago when I didn't work as much, you know, I used to just go fishing somewhere. You know what I mean? I know before I started chartering. I, you know, was planning on chartering and all that stuff, but I would go fishing. Me and buddy of mine I worked with and all that, we would go and we would fish, you know, even though we knew where we could go catch fish, we would not fish any of those spots. We would go just looking for new spots, mm-hmm. and that's all we would do. You know, we wouldn't fish anywhere that we fished before. And if it got to where we didn't catch a fish, you know, then we would, like, resort back to, you know, one of the spots, catch some fishing, and go home.
That's the way to do it instead of pounding. Like when you, I've fished with folks and in their rigs, and they'll go out and pound the same spot like all the time, and until, you know, they'd say, oh yeah, we went back to so and so and we didn't get anything. I'm like, well, you pound them like that, you know, every
pressure
time.
This fish that much.
I have a friend of mine that fishes one creek. He's done it years, it's just so strange because a lot of times, like you say, he'll tell me, you know, we caught a couple of reds today, or, you know, we caught a few trout, and, you know, it'd be time and time again, you know, we didn't even get a bite, we didn't do this, we didn't do that, you know, and you're thinking about all that, it's like, yeah, you're fishing the same creek. I said, why don't you just go across the intercoastal and fish that creek? Well, I don't know that creek. I said, but you're not going to know it unless you go in there and learn it. You know, go in there, low tide. I said, go fishing in the creek you like. And, you know, if you're not doing anything, just go right across the intercoastal. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know where the oyster beds are. I don't want to get in there and hit something. Or I'm like,
okay. Well, it's like you and I did, you know, when we was going down Sisters, we saw a creek down. You wouldn't think you could even get in there.
Yeah.
And, somehow you were able to wiggle that boat through there, and we caught fish back.
Yeah, it's, you know, looking for a place like that or going somewhere that you haven't fished in a long time. You know, I mean, that particular creek you and I went in, I ain't fished in there in years. And
I've never went in there.
Well, and see, it's so narrow, and you got the sandbar so shallow.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people won't even try to go away from, you know, go in there. So, you know, 222-8255, give us a call, and we'll be back after this.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning again on the Still Just Fishing Show. And
doing a little ramp talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they've done that. Those long docks at Joe Carlucci. Excuse me. And that looks really good. I also saw some photos of that Half Moon ramp that they're building out there off of Main Street.
That's pretty up in there.
And that's coming along really good. That's gonna be a pretty nice ramp.
Yeah, you know, that's all the photos. It looks nice.
So that's a new ramp for, you know, for the citizens of Jacksonville, which is great. Of course, I know a lot of people in Nassau County be using it too because of where it's situated up there. But you know, that's going to be great. You know, and look at this in the 80s all week.
Yeah,
if it stays like that, it'd be great.
I know.
But,
how far is Half Moon from your spread? Or is that a further drive than Jim King?
You'd have to go out Main Street, almost Nassau County. It's out there on the right.
Yeah, because I think Nassau River's the river that divides. That's the county line.
That's the county line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nassau River.
And you used to have to drive over that every morning, drive there for a while. Worked up at Lockheed up there on the Navy base up there, Kings Bay.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had to drive from Bayard to Kings Bay every day. And 110 miles round trip. Thank goodness it was only 9 months till I could get out of there and find something closer to home. Man. Yeah, I put 35,000 miles on my old Honda Accord in 9 months.
I read something that somebody posted on Facebook that they're going to close one of the downtown ramps.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one that will be open for until that one opens back
is the one by my house.
By your house, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're, and it ain't that big. I mean, no, there's not that many parking spots there.
Yeah. Well, the problem with that ramp, you know, talking about Arlington ramp, the problem with that ramp is the property. You know, there's just not enough property there to make that a bigger ramp or anything.
Right.
You know? I mean, it's just such a narrow stretch. It's just the road right away that just runs into the river, and that's it, you know.
Yeah, I used to tell my little ones, the road goes under the river and comes back up on the other side over there.
Just don't drive it.
Dad, I don't know about that.
I know down there at, Hood Landing Road, whatever, down there at Juniata Creek Ramp, right by Whitey's Fish Camp.
I've seen many of them go off.
That used to be the major roadway that people would drive into the river at because they come around that curve and just keep on going, and you know the road just kind of just now they've got it humped up, you know, or for years they've got it humped up now.
Wow.
Excuse me, but when I used to work out there, I mean, it'd be nothing to see a car out there or see a wrecker out there trying to pull a car out.
The same goes for that ramp that you just talked about downtown right next to River City Brewing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the ramp they're shutting down for some repairs for a couple of weeks. That one there, they've had to fish people out of the river right there, too.
It's just amazing, you know.
You know, you can't see the water at the end of that road. Over there by Clark's Fish Camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just come right on down that street, and next thing you know, you're floating.
Yeah. Hey, what happened? I heard there was a restaurant around here. Why are we in the water?
I used to work with this guy, and at one point he was going out partying and stuff like that, but he had a little Volkswagen car. And he got sobered up real quick, though, one day that he went over to Burt Maxwell. You know, we had toll booths back then. We had a toll booth over Trout River.
Oh, yeah.
On 995.
I remember all the tolls.
So he went down there at Burt Maxwell Park, and he said, I threw my change in. He said, I threw my change in. Next thing I know, the car was in the river. Well, he was going down the boat ramps to the toll booth. And,
my goodness.
He said he sobered up pretty quick. You know?
Yeah, of course,
they had to come out there and get the wrecker, get his little Volkswagen bug out of there.
Sound like he drank breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's bad. That's bad. Should laugh about that, but he did, so I can do it.
that ramp downtown next to River City, I used to see it at all phases of the tide because I worked right near there, and I used to walk the bridges downtown at lunchtime, and you could see that ramp had a nasty mud bank just off of it. So if you dropped your rig in the water, you didn't want to go, you know, leaving the ramp, you didn't want to cut hard toward the Acosta because there was a big shallow mud bank in there. And it was so shallow. I've seen manatees nearly go aground on it, but and that's shallow.
Wow.
But manatees, they're pretty brave. I mean, they go through some shallow water. Mm-hmm. And you can see them humping up because you know how shallow it is. So you can see the wakes of the manatees. And right there, my ramp, it's silted in real bad. And I don't know when they're going to get around to, you know, digging it out.
Well, you can't put your boat on the right side.
Cannot. No.
It's too shallow over there.
Yeah.
Which one? The big one or both of them?
The big one. Anytime I'm launching, I use the south ramp as you're looking at the water, the one on the left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just about everybody. And on a dead low tide, I've told people you're gonna have to hug that pier because the only deep water is right there. And you go down there and look at the floating pier. The floating pier, remember how Jim King was before they dug it out? The floating pier's sitting there listing
at low tide.
Yeah. The right hand side is so shallow that the floating pier's on the bottom lifted up.
I wonder if those tugboats right there cause a lot of that, you know, stirring up mud as they come in there?
It's hard to say. I know that one of the big tugboats, when they used to nest them, you know, we call that nesting, when they're gunnel to gunnel off the concrete pier, they used to have two boats nested up in there side by side. And they had that tug was sitting there waiting to be refurbed, and it, you know, it was pushed right on up in the mud. Of course, with the equipment they got, they can pull one tug right out off the mud, no problem. But I think that might be something. If you're displacing the mud over here, it may be getting washed over there, because it has gotten real bad.
Because you don't have a lot of current there.
No.
And that's a bad thing, you know. When you don't have a lot of current and that mud stirred up, it's just going to settle.
Because it's blocked. Same area, because the current gets blocked right next to the ramp. It gets blocked by all the docks and the marine railway and the, all the tugs that are over there. And but I'll tell you what, the best thing for that ramp is having Marvin Lane's Cross State Towing right there, because he does a lot. He's helped out a lot about getting, when somebody drags up a great big huge obstruction, he's used his equipment to
get it
to
out.
clear it out.
That's good.
Yeah, he's very good. He hasn't been nesting. Tugboats used to make it real tight in there to get out through that one ramp when the one tugboat was only about two or three boat lengths, maybe a boat length or two away from the deep spot. And it's been a lot better in there now. But
well, see, and that could be, like I say, could be have a lot to do with it. You know, it could have stirred up the silt, and then it silted in there, and kind of. But who knows? I mean, you know, I would think once they get, and maybe, you know, once they get this other ramp downtown fixed, you know, they might have that in the workings to come down there. Yeah. I don't know how many people use that ramp. I know you do, but I don't know how many people use it.
If it's
some of the crabbers do it.
Yeah, yeah. Crabbers. The one crabber uses it a lot, but if it's like dead low, even on the deeper side, I have to keep the motor tilted up to get out of there with the big boat.
Yeah.
Little one, you know, she makes her own water, so she's not much of a concern. But I have kicked mud up with a little rig too. That's how badly it's silted in.
Well, maybe they'll get to it. This might be something you can also, you know, put a request into, you know. I don't know if you have or not, but
I mention it periodically on the ramp watch.
It'd
be nice to get it. Be nice to get it dug out because it's silting in real bad. What was that place out toward Mayport? Was the same way.
Oak Harbor.
Oak Harbor. Yeah. Did they ever finish that and dredge it a lot? Because it was terrible.
They finished, I think, remodeling the ramp and parking lot and all that, but. I think the dredging has to be a different project, if I remember right. But I don't know. Being as I don't use it over there, I don't really know what's going on over there with it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to check into that and see.
Yeah, because if you go in there on a minus tide, you can really get an idea of what you're dealing with.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're talking about it at Arlington?
Either way.
I was going to say, I don't know if you can get in there on a minus tide at Oak Harbor.
Well, on the right hand ramp at Arlington Road, on a minus tide, there's a mud bank that's high and dry now.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to the right. So that's why I said, if you're on a jet ski, hug the pier going out.
Have you heard anything about the, speaking of pier, the beach pier? Is it?
Oh, yeah.
No, I haven't. Start on that?
Oh, it's been a big deal in the news lately. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't, I see there's this right up here that might be in this. I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Even the one out there at Fort Clinch, that one is down too.
Yeah.
The one that's along the rocks that run right parallel, you can't get on that one either.
You can't get on that pier at all? Huh.
They did a survey on the news yesterday, and 82% of the people came back saying, I don't believe we should be spending $10 million on the Jack's Beach Pier.
Well, I don't. I believe the contractor should spend it myself. We'll be back.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The American people generally opposed impeachment, but some polls indicate a shift over the past week, with Democrats talking about it so much. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, meanwhile, trying to frame the impeachment inquiry as a somber moment for a divided nation, saying, quote, this is no cause for any joy. Republicans say the only thing that came out in this week's House hearing was more evidence that the president did not do anything wrong, let alone anything impeachable. The president continues to insist his actions with regard to a telephone call to the president of Ukraine were, in his words, perfect. A U.S. judge says she will block the president's rules for the detention of immigrant children, calling them inconsistent with a long-standing agreement that lays out the conditions of custody. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 70 points to close out the week at 26,820. This is SRN News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you.
877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Saturday, October 5th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. Saturday, October 5th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Farmers Market at the St. Augustine Premium Outlet Mall. And Saturday, October 5th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Are you guys looking for a morning show that is fast-paced, entertaining, and gives you all the news without all the nonsense involved? Listen to Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Monday through Friday, right here on FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio WBOB, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., Roger.
And we value your input as well, so feel free to call in.
That's right. Mornings from 6 to 9 a.m., Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, on FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
There will be mostly sunny days through Monday with highs into the upper 80s, mostly cloudy nights, down to about 72. And the rain starts Monday night with up to about a 50% chance of showers by Tuesday, 20% chance in the rest of the week. That's continuing through Friday.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back, and I just want to mention Cindy Armstrong just told me that there's a bad drop-off on that Half Moon ramp. Was just telling me about that on text. She heard us talking about it, but on Half Moon ramp, says it has a really bad drop-off right off the end of the concrete ramp. So you had to be careful in using that because, you know, you could always, you know, pull your axle out from under your boat if you're not careful.
Have you actually been there to check it out?
No, I haven't. I just saw the photos on it on Facebook and all that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that ought to be.
I think they had photos on Ramp Watch.
Yeah, that's where I saw it. Page. But what I always look for when I actually get to that ramp is that they make some kind of marker on the pier right next to the ramp so you know
where the end of it is.
Where the end of it is.
I've often thought about that with Sisters Creek, with the Jim King ramp at Sisters Creek, because, you know, you really don't know where that ramp ends at. And when you have a real minus tide and you're trying to get that, you know, the boat on the trailer, you know, that's the dangerous part. Getting it off the trailer is not too bad. But if you've got a heavy trailer, though, like these trailers we have nowadays are, you know, they're usually made, I mean, they're like 600-800 pounds. So it's not something like you're going to, you know, like I used to have my stump knocker when they'd go off the ramp or something at Burt Maxwell, you just wade out in the water and pick it up. You know, somebody pulls the truck forward, you just pick it up, you know, and let it get back on the concrete. But I had a 20-foot Seacraft one time with a 200-horse Johnson and was trying to put it on the trailer, and it was low tide in there, and the axle came off the concrete, and it didn't work out well for me.
It doesn't sound like it.
It broke the shackles on one side. Luckily, it was only on one side, and what I wound up doing, believe it or not, is taking the anchor rope and tying it to make the axle, you know, I tied it to the back of the trailer and then tied it to the front of the trailer and made it to where that axle couldn't move back and forth on that one side, and then slowly took the trailer all the way out to US 1 there at Trout River, you know, that boat ramp there. And drove the boat all the way out there and then put the boat on the trailer, which that's right, you know, 2 miles from my house, something like that, maybe 3 miles. But anyway, I drove like 5 miles an hour. My flash was on, you know, taking it back to the house to fix it, you know. So when you tear an axle out like that, about the only other thing you can do is, you know, call a wrecker, a flatbed wrecker, get it put on there and, you know.
Get it so, up on a rollback.
I was lucky enough that there's a ramp down there by my house that I could take it down there to, and then, you know, but that was a pretty good sized boat for going back up in there too, so that was kind of a leery situation to, but I tied it good enough that I made sure that the axle, you know, one side was still good, checked it all out, checked, make sure the shackles and all was good, but it's just it broke, you know, the shackles on that the driver's side. And so tying it to the back of the trailer and to the front of the trailer, it kept that axle from, you know, going back or forth either way. You know?
Yeah. I just wonder it wasn't tracking down like this.
It might have been.
Down sideways.
I don't know. I was trying my best just to get it to the house, you know.
Yeah.
Once I got it to the house, then I could work on it, you know. So
if it's that bad, sometimes you start to see the rubber start smoking.
Well, it wouldn't for, you know, as slow as I went. I mean, you know. But, you know, some of the times like that, when we tried, I know we all try to work on our own stuff, you know, when we can. But, you know, so trying to get it back to the house where I could do it.
Yeah,
it's so funny. That same boat, it was the person that had it before me must have not greased the bearings. And because my first day that I was taking that boat out, I left the house driving down 295, and then I feel this big boom, you know, and I look in the rearview mirror, and all I see is white. It's sparks.
Ooh.
And as soon as it did it, it's like all together, it was like boom, you know, and I felt this big jerk. I look in the rearview mirror, see sparks, and see the tire pass me. And, so, you know, I'm hitting the brakes at the same time and trying to get over the side of the road. And that was a pretty heavy boat, you know, Seacraft was. And so I get it over the side of the road, and I'm watching the tire. And the tire goes way down the road. Luckily, it wasn't much traffic because it was, you know, before daylight.
Yeah.
And I saw it go into the median. I thought, okay, that's good. It
didn't cause an accident.
It wasn't going fast enough to go across, you know, as it goes in that ditch, to go back up on the other side. So as I pull over side road, I'm going to go get this wheel. Well, the hub was in the wheel, and that's why it made it balanced enough to stand up like mm-hmm. that and roll. You know, so I get out of the truck, take my flashlight, and I'm following, you know, the grass where it's mashed down, you know, where the dew's on the grass.
You were tracking. Up.
So I'm following it. I finally find the tire. I get up, you know, flip it up and start rolling it back. I look back in my truck, just like a quarter of a mile back. I'm like, good wow. gracious, that thing.
Wow.
It went a long ways, you
That's
know.
Called a bad day.
Yeah. So, you know, I went to several places trying to get another hub and all that stuff, but that was on a Sunday, so, of course, no place was open, you know, that had them, you know. So, anyway, I wound up calling a flatbed record and taking it back to the house, and then I had to rethread the spindle and all that stuff. And, you know, these trailers nowadays, you can just change the spindle out, which is good.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, you know that the spindle was the axle where it welds to that square mm-hmm. tubing.
Yeah.
That's where mine broke.
Mm.
The weld just gave way.
Yeah.
And then it was hit the asphalt, and then that was it. I pulled over. Later on, I went back, looked at it, and you can see the gouge in the asphalt where, and I'm going, I didn't go that far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You don't imagine, you don't realize how far.
Yeah.
I mean, I just went, just pulled right over, you know, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But that drag mark was pretty far.
Yeah, well,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he just described what they usually say about why not to text when you're driving.
Yeah.
Because you cover like a football field in like, what, a couple seconds?
Yeah. I mean, it's, but you know, when you're talking about that far and all that, when I got all of it back to the house and I start, you know, looking, you know, seeing what all I need to do, the U-bolt that was around the axle
mm-hmm.
that goes up to the trailer, mm-hmm. there was two U-bolts there. On that was one on each side there, and they were ground down so thin that I put a wrench on the nut to take it off, and it just before I even put any pressure, just popped it right in half.
Yeah,
I mean it was paper thin on the bottom of that axle, you know. So it was luckily, of course, that's what kept the axle from being scraping on the road. But still, like you're talking about, that short of a distance that I thought I did to pull over. Had grind both of those U-bolts on that side flat. I mean, just as thin as they could
be,
you know. But you look at all that weight, you know, and then one of the things I thought about is, you know, when I had to look back, that's where all the sparks was coming from. But when I looked in that rearview mirror and all I saw was white, you know, it just, if I wouldn't have seen that tire, you know.
Box full of sparklers but, back there.
Yeah. But the thing about it is, too, where all those sparks was going, that boat had a gas vent on that side. The boat was right back there, just behind you know the console.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
That's scary. Because when I told you recently, before I went over there to the trailer place, when I had that brake that was smoking, and at the same time it was 90-some-odd degrees outside, and I had just topped off the tank of the boat, and the vent is spewing some gas out of there because it's so hot.
Yeah.
And I got a smoking brake like less than 5 feet away from it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's very alarming.
Oh, yeah.
When you see that.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah. That's why I was hitting up the businesses around there. Hey, has anybody got anything I can fill this water can up with? I want to go pour some water on this hot brake to cool things off.
I would imagine. Whew. When we come back, I'm going to talk about what's biting now and, you know, some of the areas. And we come back. If you'd like to, you can give us a call. We got one more segment, 222-8255, if you've got any questions. But we'll be back after this.
222-TALK.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time.
Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Durant's Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durant's Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durant's Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848. Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
That's probably what you need, Ted's RV. That way you can pull the boat and go, you know, in camp.
That was the first backup camera I ever saw, was Hubbard. Those RVs have a camera on the back of them so you can see what you're doing with your towed vehicle behind it.
Yeah, because you can't see you around those things.
That's how we went scalloping. We went out to Keaton Beach. Mm-hmm. I think it was Keaton Beach. And he pulled his Sea Chaser bay boat behind the RV. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this is just as sweet as it gets, because that thing was very comfy to sleep in. Slept like, my goodness, I know it slept at least four or five. And then, you know, it also towed the boat out there.
Yeah. When before I, my mother would not pull a trailer. But before, you know, I was driving, of course, you know, 14, 15 years old, what we would do is my dad would take, you know, if it was somewhere around where we were going to camp for a week, you know, he would take the camper down and we'd all set it up and everything. And he'd go back and get the boat and bring it down, you know. Now, we wouldn't do that for a weekend somewhere, you know, too much trouble. But we stayed for a week somewhere that was not, you know, 150 miles from here or something. And that's what he would do because you know, he had a truck with a 390 in it. And he would come back and get the boat and then take it back down there. See?
I remember though. Must have been a Ford, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the old Ford 390 was a strong motor.
And then he would take it back, you know, take the boat back at the end of the trip and then come back and get the camper, you know, because you don't want to leave a boat down there and, you know, on a spot, something like that. But they could leave the camper on the campsite, you know.
Yeah.
So he'd bring the boat back and then go back and get the camper. But, you know, we'd camp in several places like that. I mean, I grew up camping, you know, in tents and all that stuff. And then we got the fold downs. And then they went to the, after, you know, we got old enough where we started, you know, dating and not going camping with my parents. And that's when they got the upright camper where they didn't have to put it up, you know, because they didn't have kids to put it up, get it all ready, you know.
You mean like a pop-up?
Yeah. Let's get Don on the phone. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, stranger. Don Dingman. How you doing?
Oh, how you doing? How you doing? We just talked about the Fuller Bull Redfish a while ago and the prizes and all that.
Do you know where the money's going this year?
Yes, sir.
So we're going to I bought 100 tag sticks and 1,000 tags, and we're about to do a bull redfish tagging research study.
That is great.
So for, you know, Vic, you know, for a long time, I've been trying to tag these fish, and I tagged 2,500 of them through CCA of Louisiana. And after Katrina, they lost the whole file cabinet with all the tags.
Oh, no.
So everybody that catch it, and then they did away with the program. So, you know, there's all these fish out there people are getting, you know, we're checking and nothing's happening. Well, now through Gray's Fish Tag Research, if you catch a fat tag fish, you'll get a pair of Costa Del Mars and a prize package and all that to redeem it. But we're going to get these tags into people's hands that love bull redfish. I want to get you one.
That'd be great.
And so if you look on there, you can go to graysfishtagresearch.org, and I tagged a few last year, and they show exactly, you know, they share it immediately. Like, here's what we found out. And I tagged one at the Little Jetties, and then 31 days it swam to BR.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we always think we know, like, hey, the fish come in the river to spawn, and the males are here, and then they go to the inlet when the water cools. But do they go off and on? Do they go south? Do they stay in the river? Do some, you know, we really don't know a whole lot like we think we do. And before you know it, man, I get all kind of calls about the Fuller Bull, like we're killing fish, and all these bull red fishermen, half of them don't die, don't live, and it's just not true. You know, they're the toughest fish, and if you take care of them, they live forever, and that's why there's so many, because we used to kill them. Those are lucky fish, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, you know? Yeah, you used to keep all those big ones.
Yeah, that's right. That's why there's so many big ones right now. If anything, the rat reds are in trouble. And the other thing I got to say, man, is where's all these environmental people saving everything when they're dredging right on top of where the redfish are spawning the month they're spawning?
Exactly.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Exactly. And, you know, they have used...
They're all quick to pat their back, head on the back and let's close Rodman Dam, let's do this. But when we actually have an environment issue hitting our fishery right now, nobody gives a dang. It's all about the money, man.
Yeah, they want to dredge out our fishing, but I can't even get them to come get the all the silt out of my ramp so I can get my boat in.
And just one quick thing too, Don, that, you know, this climate thing they had the other day where the 16-year-old girl was heading it all up, and come to find out they put together a few places, and they I know there was some fake pictures out about the garbage and stuff that they had left, but they had created 60 tons of garbage making banners and signs and all that stuff.
Did you notice how fast that picture disappeared?
Yeah, that's good for the environment.
Yeah.
But, tell everybody.
When you take a teenager, when you take a teenager's cell phone away, that's when I see that cell
phone. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But anyway,
tell people out there where all this is going, where the money's going and all.
So Full Bull Redfish Tournament next week. Cavs meeting that Friday night at Marine Max, and then fish on Saturday. It's all catch, photo, and release. We give you a measuring board and an angler number, and you go catch them and release them healthy, and then awards that night. First place trip to Costa Rica, $1,500 cash. And we have a lot of fun. We had 178 fish it last year. And if there's one thing about the people at Fuller Bull that fish the Fuller Bull is they care about these fish. So I'm so tired of people bashing this tournament because we're fixing to do something about it. You're going to see posters and bait shots. Look for these tags. We're going to do a bull redfish tagging study through Gray's Fish Tag Research, and I'm leading it. So there's I just got tired of everybody else doing it and it all falling through, so just gonna let's just do it ourselves.
Are these RF tags you're putting on them?
No, yeah, these are dark tags. That'll be green dark tags. We're gonna instruct everybody to put them in the same place on the port side of the dorsal fin on every fish. Mm-hmm. So everybody knows where to look every time. A lot of times when you look, you don't know where to look for a fish. You know, education is the key.
Hey, Don, are you going to give everybody like a Release 101 clinic at the captain's meeting? Because you're bound to have new people that oh, let's go do this, and they don't have a clue about how to take care of those fish.
We absolutely do that. And I got to tell you, man, in the full of bull, you know, it's an angler tournament. So a lot of times you have a real crusty guy like us been doing it for 20 years, and he brings his whole family that maybe hadn't done it once. So if you are a new angler, chances are you're fishing with it, a guy that's done it a while in our tournament. And we do that at every full of bull tournament seminar, how to vent them, when should you vent them, how to take care of them, what to do. And if you have a floater in our tournament and don't go get them, you can never fish our tournament again.
I tell them you got to use forever,
not just this year. You're spoiled. You can't ever come back.
Yeah, and I tell them you got to use 30-pound, you know, 30-pound liner. Yeah,
30-pound liner and a 60-pound leader. We give them all Eagle Claw circle hooks. They have to use circle hooks in our tournament. Yeah. So, you know, we respect the fish, man, and that's all about. It's about respecting the fish. You want to catch one on light tackle, pull your anchor and chase him upriver. Don't kill him in the current.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of that, man. But fish are out there if this water gets under 88 degrees. they're really far off. But fish are out there. It's going to be fun, and I want everybody to know that this tournament is to save the bull redfish. We're not hurting them. And if somebody don't get some data on them quick, they're going to say, you can't catch them no more.
Well, this is a good start.
Yep, let's get started somewhere. But I appreciate you guys, and Vic, when we get the tags, I'll be looking for you. I'll get you a bag full of tags.
I appreciate that. Right. Yes, sir. I mean, cause, you know, the thing about these fish like that, like you're talking about, when you're going to get these people to be able to help tag them like that, that's just so great, because I didn't know that place. I got some tags from Louisiana, but then all of a sudden, they're like, we don't accept them no more. And I'm like, what's going on with that?
Yeah.
So. Yep. You know, so I guess I can just throw those away, but I get the ones from you.
Yeah, they had them in a file cabinet. Didn't even enter them in a computer. Had them in a file cabinet. Katrina hit, and they wiped the whole office out, and that's into that.
Oh, that's real modern.
Wow.
Well, it was a while back, too, you know, so I can't blame them, you know, too much. But at least they were trying. And this thing, I think people get involved, and when you tag a fish, you want to know, you know, and you can find out, you know, where the fish went. And we've tagged fish that I've caught fish within a day, a year and a day, 10 yards from the spot I caught them the year before.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
So did they come to the exact same spot to spawn? You know?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, getting that information is going to be great.
Very.
I know the last bull redfish that we had caught that was tagged, Frank Jura had tagged it at the Danes Point Bridge, and we caught it at 25.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, now, you're talking a mile and a half down the river.
Now with the dredging going on, it's a great time to start mapping out this fishery to be able to determine, what kind of impact is this dredging going to have on them?
I'm with you. Yesterday I passed two dredges, one on each side of marker 25 right there at Whiteshell.
Yep. Appreciate you guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, Don. Appreciate you.
Have a good one.
And I was fixing to give the phone number out. That won't do much good, but anyway, we'll be back next week. Tune us in when you can, and appreciate y'all coming in, Chris and Ted.
Oh, yeah, so, enjoyed it.
Always enjoy it, brother.
All right, and we'll be back next week.